So the title of my talk is Disability Burden After Myocardial Infarction, a population-based study of Medicare beneficiaries who use post-acute care services. I have no disclosures. So functional capacity is described by activities of daily living. And activities of daily living are our ability to perform functions that we do in our everyday lives. And these functions include dressing, bathing, toileting, transferring, ambulating, and feeding. So those are primarily what is described in this research. So how does a person become disabled after they've had an MI? We're not able to describe what happens to them before they have their MI, but we are able to describe what happens to them after they have their MI. So we have an individual who goes to the hospital. They've had their MI, their myocardial infarction. They have a loss of aerobic function, so they're not able to perform at the level that they might have been able to perform previously because they've had damage to their heart muscle, which results in a reduction in exercise tolerance. And not even just exercise tolerance, but the ability to just perform your everyday activities of daily living. And that includes just walking to the bus stop or going to the grocery store. This results in a decreased threshold for physical function, which results in what we term disability. Disability is also impacted by comorbidity levels, so how many comorbid conditions does a person have? It's also impacted by female gender, so women have more disability than men, and it's impacted by age. So the older that you get, the more disability that you have. Having disability means that you might need to go to post-acute care services. And what we found in our current research and our previous research is that about 45 to 50% of people who've had an MI or a heart attack go on to use post-acute care services. Cardiac rehab is underused. Cardiac rehab is part of the continuum of care for people who've had a cardiac event. So the continuum of care includes the acute care stay, so they stay in the hospital, might include the post-acute care services, it includes the outpatient care that they receive from their physician, and then it includes cardiac rehabilitation services. And cardiac rehabilitation is the only place that people receive the necessary education and intervention to teach them how to manage their disease and go about improving their functional capacity. So we know from a lot of previous research what the factors are that are associated with whether or not a person goes to cardiac rehabilitation. So those factors include being female, so women are less likely to go, being older adults are less likely to go to cardiac rehab, non-white, predominantly cardiac rehab is made of white individuals, low socioeconomic status, having multiple comorbid conditions, and where you live in proximity to where the cardiac rehab program is located. What we don't know is whether or not disability has an impact on whether or not people go to cardiac rehab. So the purpose of this research was really to describe levels of disability and post-acute care service use. So the post-acute care service use included someone who goes home with home health care services, someone who goes to an inpatient rehabilitation facility, and someone who goes to a skilled nursing facility. Because no one has ever actually looked at the impact of receiving these services after a heart attack or another cardiovascular event on what happens to them after they've had their cardiovascular event. So we use the Chronic Conditions Warehouse, and this is a really nice Medicare database that includes both the inpatient stay, the outpatient services that the patient receives, but also it includes the post-acute care services. And the post-acute care services is where a person receives, or where they identify what their disability levels are. So those are the clinical, that's the clinical information. A lot of times people just use the administrative Medicare databases, but this Chronic Conditions Warehouse includes the clinical information, so you can describe what a person's disability levels are. So we use the beneficiary summary file from Medicare, which includes the demographic information, the MedPAR, which had comorbidity, treatment, and contraindications to cardiac rehab, so that's like they're not able to walk, or they've had a stroke, or something else that might be a contraindication to them receiving the full continuum of cardiac care. And then we use the post-acute care files. And those post-acute care files included the OASIS, the MDS, and the IRF-PAI. So those are the three post-acute care clinical files that we used. And from there, we got the activities of daily living variables from these PAC files. So this is how we got our sample. We started off with almost 340,000 older adults, so people over the age of 65 who had had a myocardial infarction in the year 2008. We excluded people who were not eligible. They weren't eligible because they had end-stage renal disease or disability, which made them eligible for Medicare services before they turned 65. If their Part A insurance had been terminated at some time during the cohort year, which was 2008, if they didn't have Part B services, and the Part B services cover your outpatient care, which would be cardiac rehabilitation services, and then if they weren't eligible for Medicare for more than or equal to 1 month in the cohort year, or if they had an HMO. From there, we had about 233,000 people who were eligible. Then we excluded people who we thought were not likely to attend cardiac rehabilitation services. So that was about 170,000 people that we excluded because they went home with no home health care services. If they went home, we couldn't describe what their disability levels are because there's no way to determine what their disability was. Nobody measures people who go home. We excluded people who went to a psych facility, hospice, who self-discharged because we thought that they were not going to continue with what they should have been continuing with anyway, and other reasons. And we ended up with about 63,000 people who we included in this analysis. So disability level was defined as a person who went to post-acute care services and what their measured disability was when they left the post-acute care. So what was the measure that the nurse or someone else made on them when they left the post-acute care service. It was obtained from the PAC files, OASIS, MDS, and IRF-PAI. And we defined it according to the CATS scale as dependent, needs assistance, needs supervision, and being independent in being able to perform your activities of daily living. So the factors that we included in our analyses were the PAC files. We included sociodemographic and coverage being dual eligible or just Medicare only, the number of comorbidities that a person had according to the Ellickshauser, and whether or not they had invasive, so a surgical procedure versus a medical treatment, so just receiving medication for your heart attack, and then contraindications to receiving cardiac rehabilitation, which would mean that they might not be able to receive the full continuum of cardiac care. The analysis we did for this part of the research, we just did descriptive and univariate analyses, and we looked at a significance level of 99.99% because the data is so big, everything is pretty much going to be significant. This is the results. So this is just a description of what the population looked like after they'd had their heart attack and who went to post-acute care services. So most of them were female and white. The majority used home health care services, so they were discharged from the hospital to home health care. 47% went on to a skilled nursing facility, which is like an inpatient facility, and then 8% used an inpatient rehabilitation facility. And that's much lower because they have such very strict guidelines for being able to go into an inpatient rehabilitation facility. The mean and median age was 80 and 81. 26% were dual eligible, so those are our really low socioeconomic status individuals. 89% had at least one comorbidity besides the heart attack. And the length of stay in the acute care setting was 38% stayed less than or equal to 5 days. And then 36% were rehospitalized before they started their cardiac rehabilitation program. So this is what the population looked at in their disability levels when they went into the post-acute care setting. 9% were independent, and those are probably our people who don't have anyone at home to take care of them, so they don't send them home. 51% were dependent, so those people were really, they needed a lot of rehabilitation. 20% needed assistance, and 20% needed supervision in their ability to perform their activities of daily living. This is what they looked at when looked like when they left the post-acute care setting. So you can see some change in the levels of activities of daily living. So you go from 51% being dependent to 37% being dependent, and not only 9% being independent to 20% being independent. So there is some shift in their levels of activities of daily living or their functional capacity. These are gender results by disability level. So of those who were female, when they left the post-acute care setting, 39% of females were dependent, and 25% of males were dependent. So there is a significant difference between the levels of dependency in your activities of daily living. So women have more disability compared to men. And I think we know that, and this is just showing what happens with people who have an MI. This is looking at the race results. So there's also a difference between race, and this is just looking at the white and black non-Hispanic results. So 36% of whites were dependent versus 46% of blacks who were dependent. So significant disability according to race also. And this is looking at the socioeconomic status results by disability. So you can see, similar to what we know in just the general population of people who have disability, is that 48% of people who have very low socioeconomic status of the dual eligibles, Medicare and Medicaid, are dependent compared to people who have less disability. So that would just be the Medicare-only people. Only 24% of those people were dependent. This is looking at people who are rehospitalized within 1 year of their myocardial infarction. Overall, people who use post-acute care services, so are highly disabled people, 65% of them were rehospitalized within 1 year. That's a lot, and that's very substantial cost to Medicare and Medicaid. 55% of people who are independent, and then up to 69% of people who need supervision or need assistance, and 68% of the dependent people. So we have substantial rehospitalizations and utilization in our post-acute care service use. This is looking at the percent who attended cardiac rehabilitation. So if they use the full continuum of cardiac care. Overall, only 9% of our post-acute care service people used cardiac rehabilitation. That's extremely low. It's much lower than the overall average for people using cardiac rehab, which is about 21%. Independent people, 21% of them use cardiac rehab. So that's similar to our overall numbers for the full continuum of cardiac care service use. And if you were dependent when you left the post-acute care service, only 3% of those people went on to receive that full continuum cardiac care. And those are probably the people who need it the most. Additional findings. So our multivariable analysis, the strongest predictor of not attending cardiac rehab was having any disability in your activities of daily living. So this is comparing dependent, 78% of people who were dependent in their activities of daily living, they were 78% less likely to go to cardiac rehab compared to somebody who was independent. So a lot less likely. And disability has been never really described before in using the full continuum of cardiac rehab. But when we talk about the disability and activities of daily living, this is probably the strongest factor that predicts whether or not someone is going to use the full continuum of cardiac care, and whether they're going to be rehospitalized and have larger costs and utilization. So in conclusion, we have a significant burden in functional capacity after someone has a myocardial infarction. And this has increased over the years because we have an aging population. Greater burden in those who are female, minority, and race, ethnicity, and then with increasing age and socioeconomic status also. So a lot of the females, minorities, low SES, and increasing age are using post-acute care services after they've had a heart attack. We do see some changes in their functional capacity with a stay in the post-acute care setting. And cardiac rehab, we might need to send people to additional post-acute care settings, and we have not looked at that yet. after they leave their first post-acute care setting. So if someone stays in the skilled nursing facility, they might need to go home with home health care services, and we haven't looked at those numbers yet, in determining whether or not they use the full continuum of cardiac care. And cardiac rehab is underused according to disability level. And like I just said, people might need additional rehabilitation services before they go on to cardiac rehab service use after they've been to the post-acute care setting. These are just acknowledgments for my colleagues at University Hospitals Case Medical Center and Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland.